I'm sure many of you grew up in homes where table etiquette was taught, right? The fork goes on the left, the knife and the spoon on the right, which I always thought was weird because you use the fork the most, and most of us are right-handed, so the fork should be on the right, which is the same way and reasoning I use to set the table today, by the way. You know, the glass is at the top right, and it goes on and on. There are also the table etiquettes that are understood, right, but not necessarily spoken rules, and especially those that happen out in public, in community settings, rather than at home. I remember the first time when I came across and became aware of a different social norm in regards to restaurants and cafes. I was a college student at the time studying abroad in England, and at this particular moment in time was at a cafe studying with my American coffee, as they call it, not the instant stuff that they would normally serve. And someone sat down at my table across from me. Typically, right, we sit down to be with others at the table. So I thought this man was coming to sit with me, which made me a little uncomfortable and also like, this is my table, buddy, and I'm not really interested. But my take on that situation was entirely wrong. As I peered around the cafe, I realized that the chair across from me was the only chair in the room that was left open. And the guy who was sitting across from me wasn't really interested in talking with me either. He just needed a place to drink his coffee and to read the paper. In the U.S., we look for open tables, not necessarily just open seats. We'd rather stand if there wasn't a table, or leave, or realize before we ordered that there wasn't room and would find another coffee shop. But in England, it's totally fine just to sit down wherever. The table is for everyone, wherever you could find a spot. Now that was 25 years ago, and we're a little bit more flexible these days in coffee shops or breweries where you can find larger tables, and people share them more and more. But the reality is, table customs and etiquette are different depending on where you come from. In Jesus' day, who you sat with said a lot about who you were and what you were about. In our text, we find Jesus speaking with a tax collector, right, Matthew, and inviting him to follow as a disciple. And there isn't much to do about calling him, but only once when Jesus go to Matthew's house and sit down at his table that this brought an entirely new dimension to the situation. We learn about Jesus and his table etiquette in this brief story. First, Jesus sits at tables with everyone. There is a welcome place at the table for all. Not only for those he invited to his table, as we recall at the Last Supper, but also for those who welcomed them to theirs. Second, hospitality is something that is both given and received. Some of us are great at hosting. Some of us are great at being guests. We must allow ourselves, right, to be welcomed and to hear the voices of whose invitations we wouldn't necessarily hear, and additionally, invite others to our tables that we wouldn't normally consider our people. Finally, and this is key to this text, the meals in Jesus' day were ethical or moral matters. With whom you ate meant something significant about you. If you ate with the tax collectors, that meant you supported them and their trickery and greed. So the fact that Jesus was even sitting down at a table with Matthew said something to the other religious leaders about his aim and his purposes. Why is he eating with tax collectors and sinners? Was meant to be more of a, what the heck is he doing? He's breaking all the rules and he is eating with sinners. Another translation for the word sinner here is traitor. From the religious leaders who follow the letter of the law, Jesus was not checking the right boxes by being with the traitors. He was engaging in a treacherous activity, making him one of them. The tax collectors were the middlemen for Rome, right? Not only did they collect taxes for Rome, but they took a significant cushion for themselves, which allowed them to live quite comfortably and elevate their own social status. And this was all done on the backs of their own people. What those religious leaders forgot is that sitting at the table with others who betray them and the law or the enemy isn't so new. Reverends Foer and Campbell remind us in the devotional, Meeting Jesus at the Table, of the phrase from the familiar Psalm 23. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It is an identifier for people of faith. We are to gather at any table for all. All are welcome. Unlike the religious leaders who deem that it is immoral to sit with traitors like those tax collectors, our identity as faithful disciples is not thwarted simply by eating with those we may not agree with. In fact, it appears to be something in this text that Jesus encourages. After questioning the disciples as to why Jesus ate with tax collectors and traitors, the bad people, Jesus overhears and responds, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call the righteous, not the righteous, but sinners." Bill earlier read from the prophet Hosea, which is the exact text, actually, that Jesus is quoting here when he says, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." It's a text where the prophet Hosea is speaking God's word to the people of Israel and Judah about how they continually bring sacrifices, right? Or something to settle or make up for what they have done wrong. Jesus says, instead, "I desire the extension of mercy, of love, of kindness, not mere antics to appease me with the burning of sacrifices for wrongdoing." All in all, coming together at the table in the giving and receiving of hospitality, mercy is extended for differences and perceived wrongs, even with traitors. At the table, there is room. At the table, love is extended, and God will take care of the rest. At the table, all are welcome. So many wonder, myself included, and I'm sure most of you, why our country has become so polarized. It, of course, is some complex web, a convergence of many, many things, for sure. But one of them, for sure, is that for a long time we could not come to the table together to see our neighbors who think differently about things, and to talk to them about what was going on. We unintentionally mini-divided ourselves during the pandemic because we weren't running into each other, and our anxiety was rising because all of us are inundated with social media or media in general, surrounding ourselves with people like ourselves around a couple of social policies or candidates when we all know the world is so much more complicated than that. So here we are. 3 years later, rather than extending mercy, we've been allowed to make judgments upon certain people for certain things they may or may not believe, excluded them from our communities, from our tables, and for the most part, we've surrounded ourselves with people like ourselves. But as followers of Christ, Jesus is demanding we linger here at the table with others and our differences and with him a little bit longer. For those of us who live in divided households or who don't neatly fit into particular ideology, which I think is pretty much all of us, We all can witness to the hard conversations that we've had to have because of the world out there tells us that we can't get along. But we know better. We know better because we love our partners, our parents, our children, our grandchildren. We love that liberal neighbor that shovels my driveway or that Trump voter that brings me my mail. Every time we gather at the table with the perceived bad people, the outsider, the traitor, every time we extend love, we extend mercy, we welcome Christ to our tables without judgment, only love. In our vision statement as a congregation, we have the phrase, welcoming all to Christ's spacious table. So we, as a congregation, have taken this idea of welcoming others to the table, and we want to embody what Jesus does here in our text. We are a diverse group of people seeking to extend mercy that has been extended to each of us by Jesus Christ. And by diverse, I mean we are single, we are married, divorced, widowed. We are LGBTQ folks. We are straight. We are mentally ill, and we are mentally stable. Some of us are unkempt. Some of us are well-poised and polished. Some of us are older. Some of us are younger. Some of us are midlife. Some are biracial, indigenous, or people of color. Most of us are white. People who speak a different native tongue. Men, women. Some of us work in social services and some in the for-profit arena. We are introverts, we are extroverts, we are homeless and the housed. We are rural folk and we are city folk and we are suburban folks. We are military and we are civilian. We are working class and white collar. Fox News junkies, MSNBC junkies, and NPR junkies. We are the imprisoned and those who are free. We are visitors and we are members. We are Republicans, Democrats, and non-voters. We are gun owners and we are gunless. And each and all of these are welcome at Christ's table, at this table. It is not difficult to understand how this story of Jesus eating with tax collectors falls between two other stories in the scripture where Jesus heals people. Jesus' table, our table as disciples of Christ, is a place of restoration, of healing, of real welcome to real people with faces and names and stories. Jesus is inviting us here today to pause and to revisit who we welcome to our table and whom we keep away. May we all find ways this Lent to open ourselves up and intentionally find a little bit more room at our table for others, like Jesus shows he desires of us. And if we find ourselves excluded from tables, find ways to raise the flag, to discover allies, to make our way to tables even when we aren't invited, bringing Christ's love and peace and welcome as we journey. How do you need to be healed and restored this Lent? And what a table will allow you to do that most fully? May we all find room at our tables for all of God's children. And may tables open up where we ourselves have been excluded, healing wounds and restoring our souls. Amen.